Everyone, it's so good to see some faces, not all the faces. I got my little Zoom screen here now that I'm speaking, so kind of all the boxes and everything are gone. But it was good to see faces on the call as we're here for our virtual service. In a little bit, I'm gonna share my screen and kind of get started with our lesson. But many of you have heard this before. I work with the youth and family ministry. My wife and I, we love the teens, we love the families, and we love to have fun. And I can't kind of resist being on this call, being with the family of believers, without playing a little bit of a game, a little bit of a game. So we're gonna play a game here to get us started with our sermon, because that's what I'm used to. That's what I'm used to. So we're gonna play a game, and this game is called a Zoom lip reading, right? So what's gonna happen is I'm gonna spotlight someone. Kind of haven't chosen yet. I'm kind of going a little improv a little bit today with this game. But I'm gonna spotlight someone. I'm gonna send them a word or a phrase to say. They're gonna be on mute, as we all are. They're gonna be on mute. And in the chat, we're gonna be using the chat a lot today. In the chat, we are going to guess what they are saying. Can you read someone's lips? So we're gonna guess what they're saying as we kind of go through this. So I'm gonna spotlight somebody. Let's see, somebody's nice and close to the camera, easy to see. You know, I'm actually gonna start with Phil because I feel like we see Phil talk a lot. So maybe we're able to predict a few things. We're used to seeing him. So here we go. We're gonna spotlight Phil. We're gonna spotlight Phil. If you can see Phil, give me a thumbs up. Say yes in the chat if you can see Phil. And then I'm going
Yes, I can
to,
see Phil. Oh, I should be
yeah.
muted.
Oh yeah,
Okay.
you should be muted, Phil. Phil, you gotta
Okay.
be muted,
All
Phil.
right.
That's the only way for this to work. All right. So, Phil, we're gonna start off with something easy. Phil is gonna say a word, and we're gonna try to guess the word that Phil is gonna say. So, Phil, I am sending you your word now as a direct message in the chat. Don't say it just yet. Phil, you see it? You got the thumbs up. All right. So, Phil is muted, and we're gonna try to see if we can guess the word that this says. All right, here we go, Phil. You're up. You're up, Phil. One word. Okay. I don't know if you guys saw it. Did you see it? I'm seeing some guesses. Ooh, somebody said do it again. One more time, Phil. One more time. All right. Okay. I'm seeing everything from pineapple to Jesus in the chat, but the word is indeed pineapple. Well, that might have been a little too easy. That might have been a little too. Great job, Phil. Great job, Phil. That was good. That was good. I think we got Russ next. We got a Russ. We're used to seeing Russ speak, so maybe we could read Russ's lips here. See if we could come up. All right, Russ, you're up. I'm gonna send you your word in the chat, Russ. Here we go. We're gonna do one word and then we'll do a hard one to end it off. Kind of a final round. We'll do a phrase. So we're just gonna do one word. Russ, I sent you your word. And here we go. So Russ, on three. One, two, three. What's your word, Russ? Russ didn't even speak. Somebody said Steelers, sabbatical, heaven, okay. Elevator. Russ, give me one more. All right. All right. So it was one word. Somebody said evangelism, evangelism. Elevate is close. Lovely is close. But the word is elevator. No. Sorry. It's elephant. It's elephant. Elephant is the word. Elephant is the word. So people who got elephant, Clap it up for yourself. Clap it up for yourselves. All right. Yeah, Russ did not sabotage. Come on, Russ. Russ did it. Russ tried his best. All right, so we're gonna have one more person do this. Thank you so much, Russ. I'm putting these guys on the spot here. Let's see. I see Floyd. Can you help me out, Floyd? Floyd, I see you. So here we go. Floyd's here. Let's see if he'll help us out with this one. And let me get him a good one. So this one is gonna be a phrase. This is gonna be a phrase. And here is the phrase. Hey, Aiden. I'm gonna send it to Floyd. All right, so he's got the phrase, three words. He's got the phrase. You got it? No? I sent it in the chat to you. As a direct message, so many people in the chat. I'll send it one more time. You got it? You good? All right, here we go. All right, so one, two, three. Ooh. Ooh, I don't know. Got a phrase. Okay. Try one more time, Floyd. One more time. Some people are seeing it. Here you go. Some people see it. It is indeed, it is not cannoli, Phil. It is good morning, church. Good morning, church. Great job, Floyd. Thank you so much. And I'm sure Aiden helped you out there. Great job, great job. These are things we can't do when we're in person. Sometimes we're thinking, oh, I'm not in person, I'm not this, but when we're on Zoom, we get to do kind of fun things like that. That one was tough. That one was tough. We played a game like this with the teens, and it got we bumped up the difficulty, and the phrase was, I saw an elephant in a tutu. That was the phrase. And it was pretty it's pretty crazy. The person who was guessing got it right. They had headphones on, so they couldn't hear with music playing. And for all the people who got something correct during the game, I have a prize for you. I have a prize for you, and your prize is this. We got a participation trophy for the people who participated in the game that we just played. For the people who participated in the game, shout out to you. Thanks for doing that. Now, I know when we think of participation trophies and so on and so forth, people have different kind of opinions about things like this. Right. I want to ask you guys a question, and we're going to be using the chat as you've seen. Thank you for everyone who is engaging in the chat. I do want to make our lesson today somewhat interactive. What do you guys think about participation trophies? Are you a like or dislike? In general, your feelings about it. I'm seeing some thumbs down on the screens, but what do you guys think? You can write in the chat. Do you like, maybe dislike participation? Trophies, the culture of participation trophies. Some people are fans, some people not so much. Maybe an ice cream sandwich instead. Now, it's interesting. With these participation trophies, and we know sometimes Obviously, there's some, you want to push people to win. You want to make sure people are doing their best, that they're competing. We want a certain culture that's kind of breeded with that. But when you kind of zoom out a little bit, you got to think, okay, well, is it bad to recognize someone for their honest participation? And not really, right? It's not necessarily bad. We, unless you win no trophies. Ray Holt, I love it. I love it. Now, let me ask you this question. What do you think God feels about participation in general? Our participation, right? What do you think God feels about that? I think God doesn't look at humans kind of the way we look at one another. Our hearts, he looks at our hearts. Our hearts matter much more to them. Huge thumbs up from God for our participation. Absolutely. And if someone is participating from the heart, I think he's excited about that. So today, I want to talk about participation in the church. Crucial. I love these words. I want to talk about participation in the church. And my message is really 2 points, one big point and one little point. One point that we're going to spend a good bit of time on, and then a second point that we'll talk about, but is something that we have to kind of put into action, something that we need to go ahead and do. So we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12 today, and the title of my lesson is called Doing Our Part. Now, we are going to have moments where we're still engaging in the chat. At some points, not as many, but we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12 today, and talking about doing our part. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, the Bible reads, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." 1 Corinthians 12 is a popular passage in our congregation. We often talk about it in the context of unity, right? It compares the church to a body. The body has many parts. The church may have many members, but ultimately, as the body is one, the church is one, and Jesus is the head of the body. So being connected to the church is a way to be connected to Jesus. And there's a lot of great themes in this passage that we're about to get into. But the one that I want to shift our focus on in 1 Corinthians 12, the theme I want to focus on is this theme of gifts, roles, and parts. Because Paul uses this analogy of the body also to discuss various roles and functions and different parts that we play in our community based on our gifts. So the idea of us working together towards a goal, each part is important, relying on one another for healthy and complete functioning. That connection between the church and the body is something that Paul is trying to make. Now, why does he spend a little time on this? Where there is some context here. So in the Corinthian church, there was this fascination with spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these new believers were coming together and they had apostles in their midst. They were excited to do something for God, but they were beginning to compare their gifts and their roles with one another. So they valued, to be honest, some gifts, some spiritual gifts above others. And in the Corinthian church at the time, one of those gifts was speaking in tongues. It was a gift that people were really enamored with. And we see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It was public, it was showy, people speaking in unknown languages. Where did that come from? That person has a special version of the Holy Spirit. People are fixated on the fact that maybe this was a true marking of someone having the spirit or being most spiritual. But Paul tells them that there are many gifts and many parts that they as members would play, and they all come from the Holy Spirit. He talks about this a little bit in the verses before in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 4. Verse 4 through 11, I'll read the first few verses here. Paul says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And then he goes on to list various spiritual gifts, the ability to give advice, message of special knowledge, healing, prophecy, performing miracles, so on and so forth. And he continues in this passage. But his message to the church ultimately, he wants to help the church to see that all spiritual gifts are imparted by God and they're meant to be used to help others in the church. And this is not the only place in the Bible that lists these gifts. But the disciples were coming together in the midst of worship settings, seeing these unique displays of the Spirit's power and trying to find their place in all of this, wondering what part they had to play in all of it, and maybe if some of them, if they had any part at all. So Paul gives them an analogy about the church being the body because he wants them to see their value as members in the body of Christ. So I hope as we kind of think about this passage today, I know to some extent we might feel, hey, it's important for us to engage. I have to do more. This is not one of those messages. So if I come off that way at all, I apologize. I want to really more so acknowledge what we're doing already, because many of us are using our gifts, are engaging in the body and doing our part. And I want to lift that up, and I want to really encourage us today. And I want us to realize our value and our importance to this family, and also envision ways that we can help others, specific ways we can help others. So my first point, like I said, my big point is you are important. You are important, right? So I'm not really looking at all of you. I can't see all of you, but I want all of you to know that you are important. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18 to 22. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 to 22. Paul says in the Bible, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I know this is going to sound like a silly question, but what would you say is the most important part of your body? Right? In this passage, they're talking about one part of the body saying, I don't need the rest of you guys. I'm good all on my own. Right? Do we have a most important part of our body? Some people are saying hands, heart, brain. I know we just learned a lot about the heart at this past Health Empowerment Week. So the heart is kind of on my mind. The soul, ooh, Carlito getting deep. The soul is the most important part of your body. Right? And it sounds like a silly question, especially after reading a passage like this, because we know, as someone just put in the chat here, no part of the body, no matter how important it is able to function at its best without the rest of the body. But somehow, some way, we kind of take certain parts of our body for granted. There's parts of our body that don't get much attention, right? They're all important. You know, when I ask this question, what's the most important part of your body? I'm sure no one thought to put in the chat, my digitus minimus pedis. I don't know if anybody knows what that is. My digitus minimus pedis. I broke that once. That's the pinky toe, right? The pinky toe. Nobody thought to put the pinky toe in the chat. But one time, I broke my pinky toe, and I did not realize until breaking my pinky toe how essential this incredibly small part of my body was to me being able to function the way I'm used to. And there's a story to it. It's mildly embarrassing, as you would imagine. I was in middle school at the time playing basketball in my living room, not the best place to play basketball, with my little cousin. And I hit him with a good crossover, like a good crosser. I know, Haley, I know this is embarrassing. So I hit him with a good crossover. I did a little spin. Russ would be proud. And my foot went straight into the corner of a wall in my living room. And it was very painful, but I've stubbed my toe before. So I thought it would be bad, but not too bad. And I kick off my shoe, and my pinky toe, which is already small, was much smaller. It looked like an accordion. And if you don't know what that looks like, then you've been spared of the visual. But it was really bad. And my dad comes over, and he sees my toe, and he's trying to comfort me, and I'm in pain. And he, without any prompting, without any warning, just yanked my toe out, put it right back into place, and it was very, very painful. I screamed. I feel like my whole block in Brooklyn heard me. So it's my pinky toe, right? Maybe I'd survive without it. Understood. But in that moment when I literally could not walk properly for a few days because of just my pinky toe, I realized that each part of my body is extremely important. And it was even like a glamorous injury. You know, when you break your arm as a kid, you know, you get a cast and everybody in the class can sign it. There's no cast for your pinky toe. So maybe I'm venting a little bit 'cause I got some trauma, but let's kind of move on here. The point is, the parts that seem weaker are indispensable, the Bible reads. And moving on from this analogy, what are we really talking about? We're talking about the church. We're talking about people. We're talking about us. We are the body. We are the many parts. And you are important. And we need you, every one of us. You know, a challenge we face sometimes is being able to agree with the message of a passage like this wholeheartedly. This idea that you can say, I'm needed, and really believe that. Or you can say to someone else, one of your brothers or sisters, I need you, and really mean it. It is important for us to see our importance. It is important for us to see our importance as individuals and to one another. But I, even though we don't have the same fascination with spiritual gifts that they had in the Corinthian church, I think this idea of comparison, thinking one role or one part is more important than the other, can really affect us. And us seeing our value as individuals, or maybe even kind of being puffed up in our evaluation of ourselves. I want to ask you a question that we could answer in the chat, or maybe you can think to yourself. Do you think there are roles and gifts that people consider most important in today's church? Right? Like there are roles or gifts that people think these are the most important, right? Just how I asked about the most important part of the body. We know there's no most important part. It's the same way in the church. But what are those parts? What are those parts that you think, Hey, people might think this is most important, right? So I know some of us have thought that, maybe seen that subconsciously, non-intentional, right? But are there any parts that you think people would say, hey, this is the most important part in our churches or in our church, our family today, right? And I'm sure for some of us, you could think maybe, leading, speaking, publicly, right? Preaching, things that are kind of visible. And it's interesting because I sometimes think, well, why do we think this way? And I think there's a variety of reasons for that. Some of it is kind of a something of our own making. Right. We've emphasized this over that. Right. We've maybe not mentioned certain things or certain roles or certain gifts don't get highlighted as much. And because of that, we think those gifts, those parts, those roles are less important, even though we know that's not true. We know the Bible doesn't say that. And some of us really don't even believe that, but we begin to think those things. And I love some of the things that are shared in the chat here, because I do think that I agree. I agree. And it's not just a church thing, right? Like this happens in so many settings, right? Where something that takes a team, a few get the credit, right? That happens. It's not just the church and something's up with our culture, whatever. This happens in so many settings. I just went to a musical at a high school, at Bloomfield High School, this past Thursday, because one of our teens, Miguel Vega, was in the stage crew, and I talked to Miguel, and Miguel's been working hard, and I know actually Avery Verdejo is doing the same thing for a musical at his high school. These guys who do stage crew in these high school musicals, they work hard. He's getting out of school at like 10 p.m. for a musical every day, right? And the thing about it is, when I go to see the musical, I saw like the back of Miguel's head like grabbing a table like once, or like just him kind of off to the side. He's kind of at the back of the booklet, and he's playing this less glamorous role. However, it's impossible to do the musical without those guys. The stage crew, the lighting, the musician. He didn't come out to take a bow, but it's impossible for the play to run without him. It happens in movies. We watch movies. We love all these. He's the pinky toe of the musical Genesis. Yes. We love these Marvel movies. I love Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man. If there's no special effects people, the hundreds of special effects people, he is going to be terrible at being a believable Iron Man. It's impossible to do it without other people. I played football in high school, and let me see if I could grab this picture here really quickly. And when we look at, for people who watch football, now this picture is gonna look a little, I'm not too old. I'm a young gun, but this picture is a little blurry, y'all. It's a little blurry. So here's a picture. And when people watch football, they look at the guy with the ball. They focus on the guy with the ball, but they don't look at the guys who don't get the ball, which would be somebody like me. I don't have the ball in this photo. I am blocking. That's me, my helmet. I'm engaged in the battle. I'm trying to block somebody, make sure that the running back doesn't get tackled. Those guys don't get a lot of credit. The linemen, the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen, like my little bro Kyle Clark, they don't get a lot of credit, right? They do very important roles, but they don't get a lot of attention or kind of praise. But I want to tell you, no matter the ways that you serve, the gifts that you have, the part that you play in our church, the things that you are doing right now, the ways that you help, The ways that you are showing up for others is incredibly valuable. And I want to thank you. You are important. And I know you don't do the things that you do for a thank you, but I want to acknowledge and thank you for showing up the way that you do for God's church. Some of us have had, maybe a capacity, more capacity and more time to serve in different ways in the past. Thank you. It is essential. Your impact is still felt. God has used you to make our church what it is for someone like me, who's benefited, and of many others who have benefited. So thank you. I know we won't be all able to kind of talk and speak and shout out each other, but can we get some shout outs in the chat to say thank you to people in our community that you've maybe seen serve in big or small ways? It doesn't matter, but just a thank you blank. Thank you, this person. Thank you, that person. Or maybe even just a reminder to someone in the chat that you need them, that we need you, right? Like, we need you, this person. We need you, that person. And it's a reminder that God sees you, that the ways that you serve, the ways that you give, thank you. This is not just a Sunday thing. This is not just a Wednesday thing. People serve and use their gifts in our community on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, in their life teams, in relationships with one another. People are giving rides. People are showing hospitality. People are having conversations. People are listening. People are supporting. They're being a friend. They're encouraging. People are mourning with those who mourn in difficult times. People are rejoicing with those who rejoice in incredible times. This is something that we need to do more. We need to acknowledge, we need to encourage, and we need to remind every single person in our community how valuable they are. And I love the thank yous here, and the thank yous for some of the behind the scenes things at church, for the children's ministry, for security, for ushering, for just the ways people just have been impactful in some people's lives, for studying the Bible, for so many things. There's so much encouragement to go around. We are, each part is incredibly important. Each part is incredibly important. Each one of us is incredibly important. And if we can realize that and hold on to our value, we can also start to think about maybe the specific parts, the specific roles that we play, or the specific gifts that we can use to serve God and his people. One look at our kind of second point, our small point, kind of as we go to a close. Shout out to the Clifton High School custodians. Yes, amen. You are unique. You are unique. You're important, and you are unique. There's things that you do. There's the type of person that you are that is unique and special to you. And it makes you all the more important because God has made you a specific way. God has created you to see things the way you see things. And that makes you all the more valuable. Want to look at this scripture in Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. The Bible reads, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, Take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The Bible helps us see who God created us to be. There's some gifts that everyone has, and then there's some gifts that are special to specific people. There's a unique way that you can serve. And when we're honest with ourselves and we're honest with each other as a family, we can discover those gifts. I wanted to share this list. You know, speaking of gifts in the Bible, there's kind of various spiritual gifts that are mentioned throughout the Bible. As we see in 1 Corinthians and even some in this scripture, they are miraculous gifts given by the apostles in the early church. We have these various gifts throughout the scripture. You can screenshot this if you'd like. Enabling gifts here, gifts that you can impart faith, discernment, wisdom, knowledge, and then a lot of these gifts that are a little bit more common, that this minister who runs a organization about church growth talks a lot about empowering, making sure that everyone in the church is realizing their gifts. He calls these team gifts, and they have some scripture examples here: evangelism, teaching, serving, giving, so on and so forth. And you may look at a list like this, the one I'm showing here, and maybe see one of your gifts on the screen or see a gift that someone else has. When we're discovering our gifts or trying to figure out what our gifts are, it's important for us to take time to reflect. But a part of that reflection process often is going to be connecting with other people. And that's why I talked about this point being a little shorter, because when it comes to discovering our gifts, this scripture really in Romans 12 encourages us to discover our gifts and then to use our gifts, right? To discover our gifts and to use our gifts, to think and reflect, to have conversations with others so we can see our gifts. We can make it easy on people by reminding them and encouraging them and telling them about their gifts. And then going ahead and using our gifts. It says, if your gift is to encourage, then do this. Or if your gift is leadership, then do this. If your gift is giving, then, and it was, there's a response every time. If you have this gift, then use this gift. Use this gift. Be active in serving. Be active in using your gifts. It is given to you by God. And it's for a purpose that you uniquely have an opportunity to serve. This is God's grace that He's gifted us in so many ways. And I'm thankful for the body here in New Jersey. I'm really honored and grateful to be a part of the church in the Garden State. I know not everyone is here. I know the women are some of the women are at the women's retreat. But I feel a lot of gratitude when I come together on a Sunday, see people's faces on a Wednesday, because I can see the love, because I can see people really caring for one another, showing genuine concern for one another. And I know I have received that from many, many, many of you, and I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful. You know, Jesus was probably the most gifted than all of us, right? It's like he has all the gifts. But with all of those gifts that he had, the gift of teaching, the gift of healing, the gift of leadership, and all the other incredible gifts, the way he used his gift, the heart he had towards the people that he sought to help while he was on earth was the most essential thing for us to pay attention to. We can have, as Paul mentions even later in 1 Corinthians, we can have all the gifts, but if we don't have love, then we have nothing. Jesus did not miss that idea. He had the gift of healing, but he did it with love. He had the gift of leadership. He led with love. He had the gift of teaching. He taught with love. And of course, one of the ultimate way that he expressed his love to people and to us is by dying for us on the cross. So as we kind of come to a close this morning, and think about doing our part. Let's remember to do our part with love, and let's remember the way that Jesus loved us as he died on the cross. Let's pray for communion. Dear God, thank you so much for thank you for today. Thank you for technology allowing us to connect with each other, to have fun, to dig into your word, to remember who you created us to be, to remember our value in your eyes, God. Each one of us plays a valuable role. We're incredibly grateful for the community and the family, the body that you make us a part of. And we're grateful for the head of the body, which is Jesus, God. We're grateful for his example, him being and showing the most excellent way. And thank you for him laying down his life for us, Father. As we take the bread and as we take the fruit of the vine that represents his body and blood, God, I pray that we can remember the incredible love that Jesus has towards us, the incredible love that you have towards us, and that we can really kind of bask in that for ourselves and extend it to others, God. We love you so much. We pray for the communion. In Jesus' name, amen.